Lashana Tova and Tassam Kaul, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And as my husband just said, may you all have a good year and an easy fast for Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for the serious Jews, which begins at sundown next Sunday till Monday at sundown. But actually, any 24 hours around that time will suffice due to the many different time zones.
And only if you choose to.
Because we are not under the old covenant. Some just like to do it to show reverence and glory to God. And a time when we repent for not spending enough time with Him through His Word while asking for nothing but forgiveness to those who you might have wronged, and to have a pure heart and an eager spirit to do thy will, and then just praise him with your mouth, thoughts, and the study of his holy book, especially Leviticus 16 during this time. Well, tonight we will finish teaching on Yom Kippur, meaning Day of Atonement, but first let's bow our hearts in one of their traditional Yom Kippur prayers.
Oh, my Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall declare your praise. Blessed are you, Lord, our God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thou art great, mighty, awesome, and exalted, who bestows bountiful kindness, who creates all things, and remember the piety of the patriarchs, and who in love brings a redeemer to their children's children for the sake of thy name. Remember us for life, O King who desires life. Inscribe us in your book of life for your name's sake, O living one for life. O King who desires life, inscribe us in your book for your name's sake, O living God.
And Lord, as your bride under the new covenant, we are so grateful that our names are now secure in your book of life. Thank you, Yeshua, for saving our souls.
Amen. Okay, you have some news for us?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit, actually. This is a busy week, but since Biden has now allowed Iran to acquire their $6 billion that Trump had sanctioned, the Saudi deal with Israel and the United States acting as interlockers, you know, we've been talking about for quite a while now. Well, Saudi Prince has now put that on hold. And he says it's because it's just difficult working with Bibi's far-right government. But most aren't buying that.
But perhaps this is a good thing for God's timeline.
Well, you know, I was just going to say that. Because we have also been talking a lot about the rapture in 2025. And actually, if this deal does divide Jerusalem, it would have to be stalled for a while. So, with that said, a deal to include dividing God's cherished property, and we know from Scripture will happen at some point. But as you say, it must be on God's timing. And obviously, God just wanted his eschatology students to know it's in the works.
And this is a big week with some important VIP meetings.
Yes, at the yearly UN General Assembly held in New York, usually around the fall feasts. And this year falls during Israel's Holy Week called the Days of Awe that we talked about last week and is a type of the tribulation. Anyway, the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, met with Elon Musk yesterday about the future of AI in Israel and Elon's possible investment. And they also discussed anti-Semitism on Twitter, which is now called X, who also has a new woke CEO. Anyway, Bibi is expected to meet with Biden, but on the sidelines, as well as Turkey's Erdogan and Ukraine's Zelensky, who is unhappy with Bibi for he's just not taking sides in the war.
Well, he will be speaking to the whole assembly on Friday.
And then he'll leave on Sunday morning in time for the fast that begins at sundown. And I'm sure he will bring up the topic of Iran and the Saudi deal. But we'll talk about that next week.
And Biden spoke this morning?
Oh, he did. And also last night, he held a fundraiser where he said that Donald Trump and his MAGA Republicans are out to destroy democracy. Wow. And this morning, he did his typical talk about climate change, calling it a crisis with a lot of bluster of togetherness. He also brought up that we should work with China on common issues and brought up the two-state solution for the Palestinians within Israel.
So that dividing topic again.
Mm-hmm. And that we must keep helping Ukraine. And then, by the way, he has a meeting with Zelensky back at the White House on Thursday.
Some big wigs were absent.
Yeah, like Putin and Xi from China, France. They said they're just too busy. And India, but they just finished hosting the G20 summit there a week ago. But Iran's president, Raisi, is there, and I actually spoke this afternoon. And then there's another UN body called UNESCO that stands for the UN Education Scientific Cultural Organization, whose aim is to contribute to peace and security.
And what a joke that is.
Well, President Trump and Netanyahu, they broke away from UNESCO, if you might remember that. But anyway, UNESCO has now declared Jericho, which is in Israel. Remember the Joshua retook from the enemy in the Old Testament? They said it's a historic city, but, wait for it, in Palestine.
They continually refuse to recognize Israel.
Yes. And it's another attempt to rewrite history and another proof of the bias that global organizations have for Israel. And at this morning's UN meeting, Biden said to the entire General Assembly that he was proud that we have rejoined UNESCO.
Well, you know what they say.
Oh, I do. If you tell a lie long enough, people tend to believe it. And just a quick note on Iran. They cut a third of the IAEA inspectors, which will limit their ability to properly watch over their nuclear activities.
As they gear up for the Ezekiel 38 war.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some newly released letters confirm what many knew, that Pope Pius during World War II was fully aware of the extermination camps in Poland and stayed silent. We also know the Vatican, along with the United States, helped the Nazis escape in Project Paperclip. And lastly, even though Russia is bombing Ukraine, this year some 32,000 loyal Hasidic Jews.
Yeah, those are the ones with the side curls.
Yes, they made pilgrimage to their Hasidic founder, now deceased Rabbi Nachman's grave in Uman, a historic city in central Ukraine, and they did it for Rosh Hashanah because they believe when they go to visit his grave that they'll have the rabbi's help from the grave to have a good year.
Yeah, you know, he died at 38 from tuberculosis.
He did in like 1810, but has since been revered for his excellent teachings. They also urged the President Zelensky, who is Jewish, to visit the grave, so the Rabbi Nachman would help them win the war. A little backstory to that is in 1941, the Germans deported the entire Jewish community in Uman, murdering 17,000 of them. And that's when they took the rabbi's ossuary with them, but later relocated it in Uman.
Anything on China?
Only that their economy is faltering, mostly due to their one-child policy. killing the girls especially, which they have now changed to a two-child policy. You know, approximately 400 million babies were never born or killed.
Yeah, the men don't have much of a selection.
That's correct. And but China's still building up its military with its tentacles in many other countries, especially South America. They're even building missile bases in Cuba. And they're making a lot of shipments to Russia while threatening Taiwan. And that's possibly to distract attention. Anyhow, we must move on.
All right, then. You can send your end times questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, and we'll add you to our list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, so we left off last week by reminding us what Paul says in Romans 15:4. Let's read that again.
That the things written before is for our learning.
That's in the New Testament, and it's speaking to us, you and me, today. And the scripture that leads us off for these festive appointments, let's read that again in Leviticus 23, verse 2.
Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast,
which just means appointments,
of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation,
or rehearsals,
these are my appointments.
And just to be clear, whose appointments?
The Lord's appointments.
Exactly. And he's already kept four of the seven. Any doubts about him keeping the other three?
Absolutely not.
Okay, continuing in Leviticus 23, about the Day of Atonement, let's now read verses 27 and 28.
Also, the 10th day of the 7th month of Tishri shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls.
That means a 24-hour fast.
And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God.
And let's do verse 32.
It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your soul on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath.
The Hebrew word for Sabbath used here is Shabbaton, meaning not a Saturday, but rather an extra Sabbath, like an extra holy day. Therefore, another idiom or expression depicting Yom Kippur is
the fast.
Mm-hmm, as well, another idiom we already mentioned last week is called the Nilah,
the closing of heaven's gates
that were open on Rosh Hashanah, Isaiah 26:2. Also, let's read Psalm 118, verse 19.
Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord.
Oh, yes, we will. And another one is
Day of Judgment.
Particularly to the goats, or better put, the unrighteous, to be placed on his left side when he returns to earth, Revelation 19, to keep his appointment on a Yom Kippur. It's interesting today that the unrighteous are referred to as the lefties.
Well, it's also called the Day of Redemption.
Yes, for the sheep, the righteous ones, who will be placed on his right side, Matthew 25:33. And again, still today, we are referred to as being on the right.
Yeah, we are the right-wingers.
And even in Jesus' day, the righteous lived on the right side of the temple, and the unrighteous lived on the left side of the temple, including Herod, who had his palace on the left as well. Coincidence?
I think not.
So, Yom Kippur is their yearly Day of Atonement for the nation. Now, remember back in Exodus 32, verse 30, Moses says,
I go to make atonement for the people's grievous sin of making the golden calf.
So, we have been able to figure out that he went up to Mount Sinai the second time on the first day of Teshuvah, and then returned 40 days later with the new tablets on the last day of Teshuvah, which is Yom Kippur. Therefore, it fits perfectly because Moses is a prototype of Jesus, also returning the second time to earth at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur with his new covenant.
Everything is so detailed to work out perfectly.
Oh, it is. And you know, typology is a legitimate form of learning the deeper truths of God, according to Hosea 12:10.
God hides things so we can find them.
Proverbs 25:2. Let's look at some other idioms.
The great shofar,
which is only blown on Yom Kippur, Leviticus 25. Remember, there are three idioms for three shofars blown on certain feasts. The first is on Pentecost, the last is on the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, and the great trumpet is blown on Yom Kippur. And we see that in Matthew 24:31 when he returns. Let's read that.
And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect.
That's the righteous from the tribulation.
From the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Okay, moving on, let's read Leviticus 16, verse 21.
Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the scapegoat.
In Hebrew, scapegoat is Azazel.
And shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man.
Now, according to the writings of Enoch, discovered with the Dead Sea Scrolls, Azazel was the name of one of the leaders of the fallen angels who descended on Mount Hermon, which remained a gathering place for demonic gods from ancient days. This is where Jesus, who scripture says was at Caesarea Philippi, which is located at the foot of this mountain, and by the way, is also the mouth of the Jordan River.
Yeah, that's way up north.
Yes, anyhow, Jesus was proclaiming, probably while pointing to this mountain with its carved out niches dedicated to the god named Pan. In Matthew 16:18 is where he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church. Did you know that the UN has its main headquarters in the same area where the fallen angels landed on Mount Hermon?
Yes, you know, we were there, and that's where we were baptized, at the mouth of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm. And the UN also has an office in Jerusalem. Anyhow, this fallen angel named Azazel specifically taught men the art of warfare, of making swords, knives, shields, and armor, and to the women, the art of ornamenting the body, dyeing the hair, and painting the face, and also revealed to the people the secrets of witchcraft, leading them into wickedness and impurity, until at last he was, at the Lord's command, bound hand and foot by an archangel and chained to the jagged rocks of Tartarus, where he is to abide in utter darkness until the great day of judgment, when they are all led out upon the earth. Yuck.
Jude 6:2, Peter 2:4, Revelation 9, and Isaiah 26.
However, at the end of the tribulation, we'll be cast into the fire forever. And according to the Mishnah, which was written around 200 A.D.,
it's a commentary on Torah.
That's right. And the historian Josephus A red sash was tied to the scapegoat, named Azazel, and led out to the wilderness, where the sash was then placed on a nearby rock. After the goat was pushed over the cliff, the red sash would turn white, showing their sins had been atoned for. Now, they would wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door. The Mishnah also states around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, that could be like around 32 AD, the sash stopped turning white. Why?
Jesus' death had freed them.
That's right, which is why God let the temple be destroyed. Now, Joel 2, verses 15 through 17 uses Yom Kippur terminology. So let's read that.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breaths, let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber.
That's Hadar, or a wedding chamber.
And the bride out of her closet.
That's actually the huppah. And that also matches Isaiah 26:20 that you should read when you can. Continuing in Joel.
Verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?
Only one day a year they would weep between the porch and the altar of the temple. And, of course, that was on Yom Kippur. So tune in next week when we begin the study of the very joyous seventh feast called Tabernacles on Tishri 15. And you know what? That's also Yeshua's birthday, when he was born in Bethlehem. You know, I was in Israel during this feast a while back, where many nations sent delegates, and they were waving their national flags, dancing in the streets. It was quite a joyous time, and all the sukkahs were out everywhere. But we'll be talking about that next time. But how about you? Have you made Yeshua Lord over your life, or does he stand in the background? Do you only talk to God when you need a favor? Or do you go to church every Sunday so you think you're okay, when in fact no church or religion can save you? You must make the move to personally invite him in and to worship him alone, above all material things currently occupying your precious time. If you are backsliding, or if you even wonder whether you are, you need to repent immediately. A litmus test is, do you lack the desire to be in his word? Then repent. Don't wait another minute. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit, or recommit, your life to Yeshua. He's no respecter of persons. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. And lastly, remember this, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It really is your call, so don't be a fool. I want to leave you again with the Aaronic blessing, number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122. Till next time, shalom to you.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.